Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, you'd be with us, Lord, as you promised to be, and let our hearts burn within us as you open the word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about a blessing this morning. And the blessing is the blessing of being an 11th hour worker. That's the attitude God wants to have in our hearts. What is the kingdom of God like? Jesus tells parable after parable after parable to explain the kingdom of God. It's like a farmer who went out to sow a seed. It's like looking for pearls. It's like a mustard seed. All these explanations he gives to explain what the kingdom of God is like. What he's aiming at is our hearts. He wants to get dead center in our hearts so we'll know how he sees things in his kingdom, these parables. I love that word parable. It's like parabola. It kind of goes around and it kind of reaches our heart when we least expect it. And he's going to tell a little parable here in Matthew 20, verse 1. Matthew 20, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now here comes the parable. This is what it's like. People wonder. People watch the news. Yeah, what's the kingdom of heaven like? Well, here's just one little glimpse of what it's like. Well, let's see, a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in a vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them out in his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go out and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day and doing nothing?" "Well, because no one has hired us," they answered. We said to them, "Will you go out and work in my vineyard?" Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going on to the first." Verse 9, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. Verse 11, when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "yet you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." Verse 13, but he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Ouch. So the last will be first, the first will be last. Everything will be reversed. What a parable to describe the kingdom of God, not with harps, not with angels flying around. He wants to get into our heart. The kingdom of God is in our hearts, in a sense here. The hearts of people. Wouldn't it be better if he just left us alone? Just do a religious activity. That's all you have to do. No. He wants our hearts to get right into the center of who we are. God zeroes in our hearts. I see myself in this parable. I see myself so many times in this parable. We have the choice of being a 12-hour worker or an 11th-hour worker. The choice is ours. Which one will we be? The 12-hour worker. Let's look at him. The 12-hour worker expected. He expected more. He had an expectation. They were owed something. The Lord, in a sense, owed them in this parable. The landowner became their debtor. The first principle, we should understand that God owes us nothing. Whatever we get, it's by his grace. Paul mentioned this in Romans 11, verse 35, where he quotes the book of Job. Who has ever given to God that God should have to repay him? In other words, it doesn't happen that way. God is sovereign. No one can say to God, "I did this, now you owe me." It doesn't work that way. From God's point of view, everything is a gift. Life is a gift. Air is a gift. Just take a big, deep breath of fresh air right now. I hope it's fresh. Hold it in for 5 seconds. Now let it out. That air is a gift. Yes, that air is a gift. And we're all only one breath away from eternity. Once that air is gone, we will no longer have it. Who's going to walk right up to God and demand anything? Can you imagine? You know, they're real big today, it seems like. It's always been this way on protesters, and they got signs and chants, hey, hey, ho, ho, and then just fill in the blank, you know. Hey, God, what do you know? I don't know. They'll figure out something, and they'll come, and they'll, can you do that to God? Can you run up and picket God? I don't think so. The 12-hour worker was in a bad place. He was expecting something, and he was protesting. Imagine how it was for them in this parable. Remember, Jesus made this up to teach us something. They walk up, and it was time to be paid. So they see the 11th hour, somebody was only there an hour, and they're getting paid the same as they did, and they're all excited. Their eyes as big as saucers, and they're high-fiving one another, and they're all excited. Then the 3-hour worker, then the 6, then they realize something's up here, and they start to get a little disappointed. Their heads were drooping. This is not what we planned. So verse 10, so when these came who were hired first, in other words, the 12-hour worker, they expected to receive more. But each one of them only received a denarius. Their contract was honored exactly as what the owner said. They expected more. And they did only the natural thing. This is what the natural world does. They grumbled. They complained. Verse 11, when they received their pay, they began to grumble against the landowner. It's as though they got gypped or something. Grumbling is like saying, God, I know more than you, and Lord, you blew it, so I'm going to figure it all out for you, and I'm going to correct you. You didn't do right. In the book of Job, if you read the book of Job, it's an interesting book. It's kind of a long read, but it's good to sit down and read the whole thing from beginning to end. It might take half an hour or so, but you really see the pattern here, and it's a pattern of complaining. And Job finally says, the wicked don't get what they deserve. In other words, who's paying them? They're not getting what they deserve, and look what I'm getting, and look what I deserve, and that's what it's all about. I'm not wicked, and here I'm the one suffering. God, where is your justice? God, I'm more just than you. That's the whole point of the book of Job. You have to get to chapter 38 before God breaks in. He breaks in chapter 38, and he corrects everything, and that's the purpose of the book of Job, to get us tired of the humans complaining. When's God going to say something? Finally, he does in chapter 38. We jump to chapter 40, verse 7 then. And here's what God says to Job. Brace yourself like a man. Oops. In other words, you're just a pile of dust. I'm going to speak directly to you. And if you're not careful, that dust is going to disintegrate. But be careful. You're just a man. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? And that's what complainers do. They're justifying themselves and saying, God, you're unjust. And it's not good to grumble against God. It's because we have limited understanding. We don't really understand the whole picture. God sees the beginning from the end. Better just to trust him. It's also tragic to grumble against God, because it has a practical effect on our lives that we lose the vision of the blessing he has already given us. Our memory becomes very short, and we forget the last 20 or how many years you've known him, all the things he's done because of the moment of grumbling and complaining. So the 12-hour worker has forgotten something very vital. Just a few moments ago, a breath ago, they were in the unemployment line. They had nowhere to go. They forgot. They had no prospects. You could say they were lost, and they had no idea. They forgot about that. Thanklessness is an awful attitude to live with. It's probably one of the most painful attitudes that we can have, thanklessness. I just got to be me, though. It's natural. Of course it's natural. God is calling us to something else beyond natural. So expecting, they're grumbling, now they're envying. Verse 12, these men who are hired last, so they're looking somewhere else. They're envying these men who are hired last. They worked only 1 hour and you've made them equal to us. Envying, comparing, coveting, the direction is down. They're hurting right now. I'm glad Jesus told this parable. Really, you could hardly blame, in the natural world, you could hardly blame these 12-hour workers. I mean, they're looking at these guys who are only here an hour. They had barely enough time to get their tools out. Their clothes weren't wrinkled. They had no dust on them. They weren't even sweating yet. And all of a sudden, it's over. I'm getting paid. This is awesome. I would envy them too, wouldn't you? But the point of this parable is to see the value of God that he wants to put in our hearts. It's human nature to look at the other guy. We can become grace numb. We forget the grace is over everyone. And we get grace numb, we can get grace dumb too and forget all about it. After the resurrection, Jesus was talking to Peter about a few things, and you know, John walked by and Peter says, well, what about him? What about him? And Jesus said, what's that to you? In other words, who's the boss here? You just follow me. In other words, it's a spiritual MYOB, mind your own business. Your business is you're working with me. Leave Peter alone. The 12-hour worker complained. He deemed these other people less worthy than him. That is not a good attitude. In reality, all of them were equal. They were all on the unemployment line just a few moments ago. They're all equally lost, you might say. What's a few ticks on the clock of the eternal calendar? The same grace was given to all. Finally, they kept getting lower till finally they have the burden was crushing them. Instead of enjoying their job they got, they're now toiling. That's a curse, isn't it? In a sense, they're toiling. Verse 12, we have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. We've been here all day and we've toiled. They started out happy. Yeah, I'm glad I got hired. But now all of a sudden things have changed. Something's different going on. They're having a bad day now. It's a formula for a bad life. What started out as a blessing ended up becoming a curse. We've been toiling all day. They're expecting, they're grumbling, they're envying, they're toiling. You mix this all together, it's Adam's curse. It's thorns and thistles. Things aren't going to work out. God wants to lift us from that and put us into blessing and reverse the curse, you might say. What should have brought joy and gratitude instead brought toil. That wasn't the plan. You're not supposed to be toiling, you're supposed to be enjoying. Because you just got hired. Jesus is trying to teach us something about the kingdom of God here. In other words, I don't want you thinking like a child of Adam anymore. The child of Adam can complain. That's their job. They're going to toil. But I've lifted you from Adam, and now we are in Christ, right? Aren't we? Would you say paradise? Okay, yeah, okay, Jesus. We're not in Adam anymore, so we have to train our vocabulary and our heart, our little. It's kind of like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. You know, I like that movie. Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. The Holy Spirit is saying, you wake up. You're not in Adam anymore. Come on, their attitude has got to change, and that's exactly what this parable is to do for us. Now, in Matthew, we're in Matthew 20. If you just go back a few verses in Matthew 19, Peter was, in a sense, complaining, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What's left for us? We've left it all, Lord. Peter, you got to quit thinking like Adam. Something's important going on here and you don't quite get it. What is the kingdom of heaven like? And then he tells his parable to give him a whole different perspective on life. Now the choice is open, a spiritual responsibility for all believers. We can have the attitude of a 12-hour worker, which I know all about, and I'm sure everybody does, or you can have the attitude of the 11th hour worker. The choice is ours. Jesus revealed the servant's heart in this, the 11th hour worker. That's why it's called the blessing of the 11th hour worker. Because if you're an 11th hour worker, first of all, you're going to start out with a servant's heart. And that's the greatest heart to have when you're serving the Lord. To have a heart where you think you are owed something, you've lost the servant heart, and you're going to be toiling instead of serving like you're supposed to. Remember, worship and service go together. When we put God first, we will serve him first. Worship and service should never be separated. A servant's heart. The 11th hour worker will be expecting nothing in return because everything is a gift. He just got in, he's excited. What if I was never hired? I would have all eternity to think about that. Thank God I was hired. It's a huge what if. What if I wasn't saved? What if I wasn't hired? That's what we should never forget. A servant, by definition, is just doing his duty. In Luke 17, Jesus was saying, well, a servant, after he's done his duty, he should not expect a reward. He should just say to his master, I'm an unworthy servant. I've just done my duty. He's not saying this to make us miserable. He's saying this to correct our hearts a little bit as we serve him. God owes us nothing. Where would we be had God not saved us? We'd be on the eternal unemployment line. It would not be fun. We'd be doomed. In fact, most of us were only doomed, if you want to look at eternity, just a breath away. What's 10 or 20 years, 30 years in the light of eternity? All of us have been saved, if you are saved, just a breath ago. We should have that attitude of the 11th hour worker. We should never forget, God wants us not grace dumb, but he wants us grace smart. I mean, we got smartphones, don't we? We got everything smart. My coffee maker says smart coffee maker, and it beeps when it's done. It's smart. I would have never known the coffee was done had it not beeped. You know, I want to smash that beeper. Anyway, everything's smart. God wants us to be grace smart, be right on the edge and be thankful, have a servant's heart. Then he wants us to have a grateful heart. There's no way an 11th hour worker will ever be ungrateful. It can't happen. You're going to be excited about what God has done for you. Guess what? I got what I didn't deserve. And that will be your thought constantly, the 11th hour worker. The 12 hour worker, though, would be an I earned it. I deserve it. He'd be open for complaint. The 11th hour worker knows he can demand nothing because it's all been grace. It's all grace. Grace is alive. The salvation is a gift we did not deserve. We all can be the 11th hour worker. That needs to be our focus. It's easier to give thanks, easier to have an attitude of gratitude, you might say. It clears the ledger. That's what I like about worship. Worship should help us to forget all the stuff that's in our life and just focus on the Lord, and it cleanses us so we can have that gratitude attitude. I can't tell you how many times I've slipped into the 12-hour worker syndrome. I know we've all probably done it, but worship lifts me out of that. Gratitude recalibrates the heart. It reboots us, so to speak, to put God first. It resensitizes our privilege. It keeps a holy, eternal perspective on our lives, and we never forget. A worship's heart, a grateful heart. God wants to dig deep into the soil of our hearts. Praise God for these parables. He could have just given us a list of things, you know, but a parable is a beautiful storybook way, in a sense, to teach us a lesson. He wants us then to have humble heart, a humble heart. A humble heart will have no room for envying, no coveting, no comparing, no complaining. We see others in a whole new light. The 11th hour worker will see all his fellow workers as just having come from the unemployment line themselves. They won't see them as somebody privileged over them. Yeah, you guys came from the same line I did just a little while ago. Weren't you in that line? Yeah, I was. Tell me all about it. We share our stories. Yeah, praise God for the grace of God. This whole world is like one giant cosmic unemployment line. A few are pulled out. Wouldn't we want more pulled in? The world is desperately in need of salvation. I was reading a little bit about George Whitefield during the forming of our nation in the 1700s. We had something they call the Great Awakening. George Whitefield came from England, came over here, and he went all over the United States preaching. And he was at one of these towns where they were having somebody was getting hung, you know, a criminal or whatever, and everybody's gathering around watching this, and it was horrible, and they're all talking about how this guy deserves everything he gets, he deserves it, and they overheard George Whitefield, at least it was ascribed to him, but by the grace of God, there go I. When they heard George Whitefield say that, it kind of humbled that crowd a little bit, and that was so important. Here is a man who had not forgotten what God had given him, and he was just a breath away from being like the guy on the gallows, you might say. He knows the blessing of the 11th hour worker. A humble heart will never forget the grace of God. And that will then lead to the last heart condition, a heart full of joy. None of this, I've borne the burden all day long of the work. The burden is lifted when joy comes in. The burden is lifted. You have new life. Now it's a labor of joy. John, 1 John, the book of 1 John says, we love him not because of anything we did, because he first loved us. Does that make sense? Well, if he had not first loved us, we would be nowhere. Thank God, that fills me with joy. Now, a lot of us have had different kinds of jobs working, and you have all kinds of job situations. I worked at a place that was unionized. I was going to college, and long story short, I got in the union. I was with everybody else, and also in that process, I got saved. And one of the main things I noticed, everybody complained. Everybody complained, and the union kind of gave them permission to complain, and I could not complain anymore. I was blessed, and God had blessed me so much, and I had to learn how to work with them and not complain, to be a praiser, not a complainer. And it was an interesting thing. And when the manager would come up and give us our checks, I don't know why he did it personally, but he did. And we met at the little thing where you push the time clock. I probably don't have those anymore. But anyway, we all gathered the time clock. He gave us our checks, and I would say, "Thank you, Jesus," when he handed me the check, because I was not working for him anymore. I'm not working for the union. I was working for the Lord, working for the Lord. And that's where your reward comes from. You're not depending on people. You're not looking at people. So joy comes from Jesus, and it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit meaning it takes time. The works of the flesh happen instantly, no training. Fruit takes time, fruit of the Spirit. We love him because he first loved us. Colossians 3:23 is a good life verse if you want to write that down. Whatever you do, fill in the blank, whatever you do, work with it with all your heart as though you're working for the Lord, not for men, because it's from the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember, worship and service go together. I remember sitting in a large church a long time ago. I just got saved. I know I've told this story before, but it kind of illustrates this. You know, they needed Sunday school teachers. They needed children's workers. They had tons of children, and they needed more workers, and I had no choice. I had to say yes. So I volunteered, and, you know, God had given me so much already. I had to start serving in some manner, and I had the attitude of the 11th hour worker. I was excited, and nothing bothered me, and then years slipped by, and you know what else slipped in? The 12-hour worker syndrome, and here I am. I spent so much time preparing for this event. The kids are going to come, and the parents are going to drop them off and forget about them. And one parent's going to complain, "My kid only had 6 pieces of pizza. Last week he got 8. What's wrong with you?" I mean, and that's how I was feeling while I was doing all this, you know. And I realized I was getting the Christian blues. It's not a good thing to do. People owe me. People owe me. Don't they realize all that I'm doing? And The pastor there had something he would say often. It was, "Everyone wants to be a servant of God until they're treated like one." And I learned that little lesson. That is so true. And I read these surveys all the time, and I think it's in your bulletin on the front. I mentioned it. I get irritated by these surveys. They go out and they survey the church. Why is everybody leaving the church? And they have this reason, that reason. Okay, I guess we need more floodlights. We need more exciting music. We need something we're not doing right. Or would they give that survey to the Lord? What would he say? "I wish I had more disciples. That's why they're leaving the church." They never put the responsibility on the people in the pews or the seats or the pastor. It has to be on the people. We are the church, and it's Jesus' church. It's welcome to the human race. It's always going to be a problem. It's nothing new. I'd like to talk to George Barna one day about that. Maybe he'll change his survey a little bit. So here I am sitting in the youth room. I'm getting ready for this giant program. I worked days on it. It's going to be fantastic. And I got the Christian blues. Music's on. A song comes on. "I've traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care." Ah, the Christian blues. Thank you. I feel it. "The burden on my weary back has bowed me to despair." Yes, sing it, lady, sing it. "I often complained to Jesus how folks were treating me." That's right. "And then I heard him say so tenderly, 'My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me.'" Uh-oh, I realized I was in trouble when these lyrics were coming, but the lyrics didn't stop. I knew I needed to be corrected. Here's the next little phrase. "I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say. I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk this narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth an awful lot to thee." Then I hear him say, so gently to me. I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Now I realize that I've done being a Christian. The Christian blues are over. I'm going to yield and bow to the Lord. I'm going to become a disciple. I'm going to allow myself to be disciplined right here on the spot. And I'm no longer going to complain, even though you still do it. But I'm going to repent. I'm going to repent of the complaining. And then you learn the lesson. That's called discipline. Isn't that what a disciple does? You get trained. And the Lord wants to train us and move us away from the 12-hour worker attitude. He wants to move us into the 11th-hour worker attitude. So there's a lot to learn, but we learn on our knees. That's where we learn. Huge learning curve. And that learning curve can hurt. I'm not saying it's easy. We can learn a lesson from Job. I want to look at Job chapter 42, if you want to open there. Job started out as an 11th hour worker, didn't he? He was excited. Everything was a blessing. The thing started to turn on him, and he lost his joy and his faith. God finally corrected him through all of this. And now look what happens in his correction. Job 42, it's just before the Psalms, Job. Verse 1. After the Lord has cleaned house, basically Job realizes, oops, I spoke when I shouldn't have spoke. But God has a relationship with Job, just like he has with us, and he allows that. Praise God, we can open up to him. And look what he says to him. Look what Job says. He replies to the Lord. I like that it's all capitals. That's the Yahweh, the covenant. He has a covenant with him. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this who obscures my counsel without knowledge? In other words, people are dumb and they're saying things. That's what the Lord said. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen, I'll speak. I will question you and you will answer me. Oops. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. I know you now. I understand what's happening. Therefore, here's the therefore, I will despise myself. In other words, I'm going to yield my will to you. I'm going to despise myself, repent in dust and ashes. Repentance. What a gift God has given us. We can take that 12-hour attitude. It might happen to us 20 times a day. Just every time it happens, repent. Turn back to the Lord. Repentance transformed Job instantly back into an 11th-hour worker. That's what God wants to do for us. I was lost, now I'm saved. Now, if you take a starving person, maybe they've been out in the desert for 2 weeks, they're almost dead, and you bring them into a restaurant, do you think they'll complain about the food? I don't think so. They're not going to send it back to the cook. You know, that's kind of us. We have to have that same attitude with our salvation, an eternal perspective. Have the attitude of the 11th hour worker. We must never forget. Let's bow our heads in prayer as the worship team comes up. Father, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that we can repent. All of us can repent, meaning admit our faults, admit our attitudes, and Lord, restore us, just like you did Job.